Receive the free bowel screening test kit. Don't put it off. If you're aged between 50 and 74, take the kit to the bathroom and get to it. It's the free test that could save your life.
Guys, there's a pattern that's emerging in our fair city. That is, rents are really high, businesses will close down, shops will be empty for a period of a month or two, and then inevitably it will open as a 24-hour gym.
Right. Yes, there are a lot of them, aren't
there? It's either a hand-washing car wash or a 24-hour gym. I don't know if they are the world's greatest money-laundering places in the world, or we are just desperate to have clean cars and get fit.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how many we need on one street, but there are many. And I saw this incredible footage of a 1940s gym. And the gyms in the 1940s weren't the same.
No.
They weren't these, you just check yourself in and you go and do a few weights and come out.
Mm.
This is incredible footage of these. It's a women's gym in the 1940s. And the women are dressed in, I would say, beautiful bathers.
Oh, yes.
Really lovely, quite fully covered bathers.
Yes.
Not two-piece bikini style, but, you know, the old school 1940s bather.
Bloomers.
Yeah, in a nice bather with immaculate hair. They've had their hair in ringlets all night, in the rag ringlets, and beautiful, beautiful makeup. And they are just fully made up in heels, so swimsuits and high heels.
Okay.
And they're standing in the gym on all of the gym equipment. And the gym equipment is like, I guess it looks pretty archaic. It looks like if you were to torture somebody and like lay them in a bed and then stretch their limbs with metal devices. That's sort of what's going on. It's just pretty little fillies standing around in a gym with equipment trying to fix them because they've got big issues to work on.
Girls, it seems that after you helped to win the war, you'll still have another battle on your hands and legs and things. The Battle of the Bulges. And here are some of the latest mechanized units on maneuvers, or rather, womaneuvers. If you want to look like a sea nymph, you board the streamliner, and away you go to health and happiness. It curves your right. There's a tum and place for everything, but the tum isn't the right place. Well, it all started with a rib, and now it's a rub. Eve certainly moves with the times, and she's making sure that her moves will be graceful ones. The Battle of the Bulges is still on.
Oh, isn't it, ladies?
I mean,
once you've dealing with the war, you still have the Battle of the Bulge to deal with.
I mean, what's interesting, and you know, everything has its context, right?
Yep.
Now, I'm sure in that time, because, of course, you know, women were needed to do a lot of the work that the men used to do, but were off fighting. So there was some quite physical labour that was required of our women.
Maybe
and it was the first time they got the chance to do that sort of thing.
Maybe they should have got them on some weights instead of just standing in a machine getting their tummies slimmer.
But Kemba, you've still got to look good as you do it. Did I have that machine? Because as a kid, some of my mum's friends used to stand on this machine with a belt that wrapped around your waist and just kind of shook the crap out of
they
you.
They still sell those.
Do they?
Because we've still got to fight the Battle of the Bulge,
always,
Maddie.
Darling.
It's not over.
Don't worry, keep wearing your heels. You look great.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
131060, what came back to you that you thought you'd lost? And it's on the back of this, it's a pigeon, right? A homing pigeon by the name of Bob.
Aww.
Got any pigeon noises there for me?
No.
Okay, great.
Can you make a pigeon noise, please, Tim? Because that's what Pete would do.
But what these animals do does completely spin me out. So this is a pigeon from the UK, homing pigeon. They've gone to a little competition on the Isle of Guernsey, one of the small islands, Channel Islands, they call it. They've actually got their own team in the Commonwealth Games, would you believe?
Wow.
And they were one of the two islands that actually got occupied by the Germans in the war. Anyway, I digress. So they went to a home.
If you're going to get anything out of it, at least you're going to learn a thing.
You're going to learn
two.
Something. They went to a homing pigeon event, right? And poor Bob, yeah, let him go. All right, see you, Bob. Never came back.
Aww.
Never came back.
That's a shame. And they put a lot of effort into training them too.
Well, clearly not enough because he didn't come back.
Bad wrinkle.
Would you believe it? A few months later, or a few weeks later, they get an email from Alabama in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's arrived in Alabama.
Wow.
God.
He's flown across the Atlantic Ocean and got to, and of course they have those little identifying rings on their feet. And so they get the call going, your pigeon's here. And they flew over to pick him up. They didn't want to give him, you know, make him do it again.
Yeah.
Isn't that extraordinary?
That's amazing. Also, that makes me feel happy because I'm thinking about the time that, you know, Mum walked out the front door with Dad's bird on her shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And it took off and obviously never returned.
No.
And I like to think now that he's just out living his best adventure.
In Alabama.
Instead of what I really think happened.
Well, and this is what they were saying, that when they, you know, pigeons are not great in the wild.
Yeah, you know,
they are. They do often prey for those sorts of other birds.
Mm. Okay.
But he got across the Atlantic.
I think that's amazing.
And he got back home.
You hear these stories of people who have been like, oh, you know, we lost our cat. We moved house. The cat didn't come back. And then 2 years later, the cat returned.
Yes.
You know, how is it like nothing? If I lose something, it's gone forever. It never comes back.
I think with cats, though, there's always that assumption that they've only been about 100 metres away. They just found a family that were prepared to feed them a little better than you were. And then when that ended, they're like, oh, I might go back to the other ones now. 131060, what came back to you that you thought you'd lost?
Yeah.
Levi Jade in Belmont, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, what's your story?
Okay, so I bought, when I was about 10 or 11, I bought a little pink cross from the $2 shop, and I'm not like religious or anything like that.
Mm.
And I've like lost it a couple times. I even remember... like thoroughly, I remember thoroughly throwing it out and it just came back to me and it just kept coming back to me. And it was just a strange thing and I've still got it to this day.
You still have it because you can't get rid of it. It's like, it now seems like it's got some sort of weird spiritual thing that keeps coming back.
Yeah, what's going on?
Mm. I hope it's a good thing.
The icons from the $2 shop were so powerful.
Terrifying. Deborah in Lake Coogee, what came back to you after you thought you lost it?
Well, we went to Boxing Day. We had a huge family gathering down at Coogee Beach. We were playing volleyball right in the ocean, like I could barely stand.
Mm.
As we were playing volleyball, I watched my engagement ring fly off my finger right into the water, gone. Everybody was looking for it. It was hopeless. There was no point in even looking for it. It was right in under the sand.
Yep.
Mm. We went to the Coogee Beach Cafe. I drew a little picture for them and said, if anybody hands anything in like this, can you please give me a call?
Yeah.
In the morning, about 8 o'clock, they called me and said a little boy was playing on the shore with his family and the ring had washed up right up on the shore.
Wow.
How did that happen?
That's bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. It was meant to be, Deb. It was meant to come back to you.
That never happens. Casey and Hilbert, what came back to you after you thought you lost it?
Funnily enough, love. My husband isn't.
Okay.
Classic.
Oh, that's nice. Casey, how did that come about?
I'm going to age myself with this story, but we dated when we were in high school and my family moved about 3 hours away before sort of social media and mobile phones. So we lost contact as teenagers
of
and
course.
Then 8 years later through Facebook, he sort of added me as a friend on Facebook and we're celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary this year.
Oh, congrats.
And you're right. You know, I too grew up in that era, Casey, and that was sort of it. Mm. You know, once you were gone, you were gone.
Oh, yeah. People are super nervous when a high schooler adds you to Facebook. You're like previous friend. Oh, dear.
Janelle in Wellard, what came back to you that you thought you'd lost?
Yeah, so I used to live in Armidale and the fireworks were there and we lived quite close to the fireworks. And one day me and my little family went down to the fireworks and we got back and our dog was so scared that she'd run away. And so for like about a month, we were putting ads in the paper, you know, the lost and found, went to the pound every single day. My kids were so upset. And then one day I went to my mum's and I was about to go to uni and she said, can you take me to the shop? And it was about 3 suburbs away. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll take you to the shop. And then I was driving and then this little dog ran past the road and I had to slam my brakes on. And I looked and I said, oh my God, Mum, it's my dog. And I was crying. I opened the door and she got in and jumped on me. She was going crazy and I just couldn't drive after that. And then I got home and I didn't end up going to uni that day. I grabbed my kids. They walked in and they were like, oh my God, is this our dog? So, and it was a month to the day. It was the 26th of February.
Wow.
And it felt like winning the lotto.
Yeah. Was the dog a mess? Has the dog just been running around roaming the streets or do you think she's been taken care of?
Yeah, well, I think she was dirty, but she hadn't lost any weight or anything. So I think someone might have been, and that morning all the fate lined up and she must have escaped that house and got to us. And it was, so we still have her now. She's 120 dog years right now.
Wow. How bizarre, just like if you'd left the house a minute earlier or later, it wouldn't have happened. Like, that's really cool.
It's a great story. Thanks, Janelle.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Ah, the great man, Adrian Barrich.
G'day, guys. Wet out there today, jeepers. Look, are we all loving Australia beating up on all the lesser nations at the Commonwealth Games?
Look, we expect nothing less. Matt said to me, this is where we go to win, and that's what I'm expecting.
It's absolutely rating its head off because we've won 22 gold medals now, and the next nearest is England, who've won 11.
Isn't it awesome?
We've got twice as many.
Take that, Sri Lanka.
Make the athletes feel like they're not as successful. It feels like if you're going into the comp, you know, it's like, oh, well, yeah, but if you go play the under-14s, you'll be right. Like, if they know they're going to get more at this because it's not quite the Olympics, it feels like a bit of a shallow win.
Well, I've got the perfect answer to that because Matt Richardson from WA, a Wastes graduate, he's got two gold in the cycling, and Emma McKeon, overnight, with her personal career gold total has gone to 11. She's won 11 gold medals at Commonwealth Games, and she's surpassed Thorpe, Liesl, and Susie O'Neill.
Wow.
And they are superstars.
Commonwealth golds,
So it sort of is a bit, at least in the swimming, it is a bit of an indicator of how good you're going. And so she's the greatest ever Commonwealth Games athlete from Australia. No, all time.
Of all
athletes.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Best moment for me, though, and Kimber, you'll love this one, West Australian Maddy D'Arazio, wheelchair marathon, fantastic girl from Western Australia. And then this marathon mum, Jessie Stenson. Oh, mate, she was so good. This is how Bruce saw it.
What a day it's been. What a day it's been. This South Australian champion, this Australian champion, this Commonwealth champion. That's it. That's a gold medal.
He was trying to get really fired up, wasn't he there, Bruce? He was trying to get emotional, but she spoke so beautifully. And when she was coming down the straight at the end and the fans were cheering her on, she was going, thank you. It was so beautiful. She's had a baby in 2019 named Billy, and she said, when you become a mum, you become much stronger. And, you know, what a great quote, you know. So we've all fallen in love with Jess. And hopefully she goes on with it. And you're right, next time the Olympics come around, let's see how she goes there.
I mean, I was watching the hockey, and I think at one point after about 4 minutes, we were 8-0 up against Scotland. I thought, I'm turning this off.
Kenya?
Wait until we get to the semifinals against India, and then I'll watch it.
Footy-wise, I know Pete's not here. This may be why. The Dockers, he was right. They had a shocker.
Didn't they?
Against Melbourne on Friday night on the big stage.
I was out on the ground for the guys to run out through the flag.
Really?
And I mean, it was sort of like a forest falling in the tree. Like, if no one sees you on the ground, did it really happen? But I promise I was there. I was saying to my dad, did you see me on TV? He went, no.
I'm impressed. Did you see Jake Melsham coming out? So the Melbourne team came out of their tunnel, and it's a really big tunnel, and there was a Dockers fan hanging over with a Dockers jumper, and he had written on the back of it, he'd placed Jackson. So like Luke Jackson had joined the Dockers.
Okay.
And Jake Melsham has grabbed the jumper off him and thrown it in the gutter.
Right.
It's caused a real big stink. The AFL's considering investigating whether that was like an offensive thing to do to the fans, but I didn't think it was that big enough. You didn't see that, did you?
You're going to dangle a jumper in front of someone's face. You know, I mean, come on.
It's a jumper, mate.
I agree.
Just move around
it. So now they've got the Bulldogs, the Eagles and the Giants, only one at home, and they need to win one more to make the finals. They still have to win one more.
They still have to win one more? Yeah. I don't understand football. You guys have told me teams are doing rubbish all year round, and then in the last six games or four games, suddenly you're like, guys, they made the eight. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. For me, it sounded like the Dockers were doing so well all season basically all they have to do is rock up now.
Well, if they win all three, they'll make the top four, but they've got to win one more to make the eight. The Eagles, no mugs. There'll be no mugs in the Derby too because they looked pretty good yesterday. They should have beaten the Suns probably. One of the young guys got reported. He'll probably cop a week. Dry Cully, bit of a brain snap. It happens. Well, I didn't think it was that dangerous. He's got a hammy anyway. And we've got to mention England overnight. The English women.
Football's come home.
Mate,
finally.
How good was that? The men have never won, you know, the European Championship.
No, they got to the final last year.
Yeah,
yes.
They've won it at Wembley. and they were so happy. And tell us about the media conference.
Well, apparently the England coach, who's actually a Swede or a Dane, the girls were drinking beer and running all over the top of her desk of her media conference. And I thought, just like the boys. Hey?
They were singing the song, Football's Coming Home, and the goalkeeper got up on the table and started dancing.
That's right, yeah.
In front of about 800 media.
And now she's copped, my captain.
Yeah, 3 to 4 weeks exactly. For misbehaving. Yeah.
Look out for that. Have a great day, guys. Right.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you, Barra.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, sometimes you wake up and you think, why does that hurt?
Oh, every morning. Now, morning, Kimber.
You know, if you're in your 20s, you haven't got a clue.
No.
You haven't got a clue.
Well, it's usually a bit of misadventure in your 20s. Like, you bruised yourself. Oh, you must have done that at 3 a.m.
Yeah, you walked into something or you were drinking and you fell over. And look, we get it. In your 20s, you bounce back. You're like Gumby. You're just like a resilient plasticine.
Yes.
And then you hit an age and you're just like, I don't know what I've done, but gee, that hurts. Mm. What's that aching thing? And the thing is, if you went to the doctor every time or if you reported it to someone every time, no one's got time for that.
I'll be in emergency 24/7.
Yeah, you know, there's regular, what's that bump, what's that lump? You don't Google it. You just get on with your life until you feel like maybe it's been there too long.
If I get a sharp pain that isn't in my chest, in my heart region, I'm quite happy.
Yeah, you're good.
Because I'm like, that'll be all right.
Yeah, well, see, this is what's happening is I've been getting a sharp pain.
Oh, where?
I'm getting a sharp pain and I think that it's me doing it to myself because I was at the shops over the weekend and I was reading a product on the bottom shelf.
Oh, yes.
So I just squatted down and was in a squat position for a few moments while I read the back of this box.
Oh, I'd never get up.
Well, when I went to get back up, I felt this really significant pain in my knee that I've been experiencing of late. And I think the reason I'm getting this pain in my knee is because of this.
Skinny, skinny jeans. That's me in my skinny jeans. Look at me busting out of the seams. I don't care what you think of me because I'm happy in my skinny jeans.
I think it's my skinny jeans, guys.
Really?
I'm quite certain it is because I wear skinny jeans and I don't think I'm ever going to not wear skinny jeans because I have got toothpicks for legs.
You do, yes.
I've got very long, slim legs, which I'm not complaining about. They're they've been my superpower. I'm happy with that. But it just means that in most jeans, they look baggy and ill-fitted.
Right.
So to get jeans that fit my no bum and, you know, lack of girth in my legs, I go for a skinny jean so that they don't get baggy and weird.
Okay.
But I do think they're making my knees fit into spaces my knees maybe don't want to fit.
Okay.
Right. And so I just thought, 131060, tell me about the fashion that broke you. Because I can't stop wearing skinny jeans because no other jeans look good on me. They don't fit anything else. And so I'm going to keep going with it, even though I might be ruining my kneecaps.
Well, I mean, I hear, of course, we all hear about women in shoes and the pain that women experience wearing high heels whatnot. Surely that must be doing slowly damage to certain parts of your foot and leg, right?
Oh, yeah. Like my friend, she's got feet like a hobbit. She got through. She wore heels so much. She wore them everywhere. And those things are manky. If she takes her shoes off now, we're all like, put them back on.
Oh, really?
Oh, her feet
look. It's changed the shape of her foot.
It's like Bunyan City. Her foot is a disaster. And so, yeah, but this is part of the commitment. If you've had a fashion, maybe it was you went through the trend of the corsets.
Oh,
I don't know. Yes. Whatever your fashion thing was, what's the fashion that absolutely broke you, 131060?
This is why I'm simply never going to buy pants that don't have a string pull from now on. if it's got buttons, because I've experienced the shame of buying the pants when you're at your slimmest and going, these are great, and then within a week and being uncomfortable, no. And particularly these ones, which I call my dead man pants that I bought from.
Is it all elastic for you from now on, is it?
Look, that string, that knot keeps getting wider and wider and I don't care. I'm comfortable.
And we want to know when fashion broke you. Melissa in Carramar, what was it that got you?
Morning, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
So I grew up with Spice Girls and platform shoes.
Oh. Yep.
Those shoes, I think I rolled my ankle about 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
And now my ankle looks like an ogre's ankle, seriously.
Oh, no.
And the platforms are coming back, and I'm having PTSD about it. Like,
you feel an obligation to say to another generation, I don't know if you want to do these platforms. And we felt at the time, Melissa, as long as our foot's like strapped in, it's going to be fine. And I used to think that as long as the platform under my foot was quite high, then it didn't matter that the heel was 12 inches.
Mm. Yeah, the higher the better.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
No. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want is an ankle support.
Fiona in Perth, what's the fashion that broke you?
Okay, so it wasn't me, but it was my partner.
Yeah.
So we were, I won't tell you what we were doing beforehand, but anyway, he went to pull on his jeans, so he had black skinny jeans on.
No, Fiona, please, and take us back.
And he actually got caught in his zipper.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
So there was no underwear on. He pulled his pants up and everything got entwined into the zipper. Oh. And he tried everything to get it out, the ice, oil, lube, everything, jumped in the pool, couldn't undo it. And I'm like, yeah, I can get it out.
Jump in the pool.
Couldn't. And we ended up having to go to hospital with a towel around him, and they had to cut his jeans off, and he had to have four needles into there to be able to pull it out.
Oh, it's the only time you want ramping. So you don't have to go through that.
Reminds me of that scene in Something About Mary.
Yes.
Which, yeah.
Frank and Beans. Frank and Beans.
Why does it hurt so much?
He was Ducks of his high school and worked as a brickie, a shop assistant, and at an abattoir before finding a career in comedy. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Please welcome part of the Mix 94.5 family, Hughie.
Hi, Hughie. I mean, we speak to him every week, but every week it's like landing on the moon. But we finally got you, buddy. You're there.
Yeah, I don't know what happens with the technology at the network, but, you know, it changes constantly, apparently. We're on. I'm in Sydney at the moment. It's great to talk to you. I was actually on a boat yesterday on Sydney Harbour with a group of men who work with aluminium.
Oh.
And a number of them were from Perth. And one of them's name was Steve. And
know him.
Well, you know what? But they said, all the other guys said, you've got to meet Steve. You have to meet Steve. I said, why do I have to meet Steve? And they said, because Steve is a lookalike of yours.
Oh, yeah.
And so I did meet Steve, and he was a lookalike of mine. And you know what Steve said to me? He said, mate, I was in Northbridge one night, and you helped me find my wife. I'm like, what? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. So he told me, he said he was hanging out in a nightclub in Northbridge. A woman came up to him and said, and I'm not bragging here, this is what he told me. He said, this woman said, you look like Dave Hughes. I've always had a thing for Dave Hughes. And 6 years later, they're a married couple. So
stop it.
Legend.
Wow. Right. That's all it took. Did you get a chance to meet Steve's wife, Dave? Or is that he won't bother introducing you?
No, I talked to her on the phone yesterday, so I'm on the boat talking to his wife.
I'll tell you, this is how much school trips have changed. Because kids today go to Vienna. First part of school camp. We went to the Alcoa aluminum site down there.
Refinery,
yeah. So I know all about bauxite, mate. I could have been on that boat with you.
Mate, I'm really into aluminium. You say aluminium, I say aluminium, but no, I'm into it. It's bloody fully recyclable, people.
Oh,
get involved.
And also, I'm so thrilled that you've changed lives and Cupid's bow. Is that the only successful couple you've ever got together, Dave?
Look, I don't know, but I'm happy to find others because, there is, in Adelaide, there was a lot of guys who would put photos of me next to them on their Tinder. So for some reason, I was big on dudes' Tinder in Adelaide.
They didn't even know that it was like women were turning a blind eye. They were like, oh, God, dude with a fish. Dude with Dave Hughes.
Have you been watching the comm games, bud?
I have. I've just got to tell you what, if you're going to see to the Velodrome, you've got to make sure, how's the bikes are just flying out of the track into the crowd. It was crazy.
The old Kieran. I've been getting into the lawn bowls. It's not often you watch some good rolling, some Jack High.
Yeah, I was talking to a woman the other day. Said she was looking to buy a spa because she has a hard day of lawn bowling. So, yeah. So, apparently, people who love lawn bowling also love spas. So, anyway, random.
It's the key party of the new century. Good on you, brother.
See you, legends.
Thanks, Husey.
Thank you, Husey. Dave Husey Hughes. And, of course, check him out weeknights at 6 here on Perth's Mix 94.5.
Well, look, you've got to, you know, there's the, every cloud has a silver lining, but not if you're an emo. And that's what we love about emos and that sort of thing. It's like, you know, you've got to fully embrace that depressed teenager thing. And Kimber, you did that, didn't you?
Well, I was gothic.
You were, yeah.
Which I think was the old school emo.
That's what I mean. It's all in
like
the same.
Like emo became the more modern thing, right?
Yes. I'm sure young people will be screaming at the radio now going, you've got it so wrong.
Yeah, there's totally a difference God, between emo idiot. And goth. Whatever. But, look, I was wearing black and white and was angry much earlier than you were.
Yeah, and you know what? And I this is all about being on side. I love an emo. I love a good goth. I mean, I attempted to do it through the music that I liked. I never went for the eyeliner or anything like that, mm-hmm. but I spent hours as a teenager just locked in my bedroom listening to the Smiths.
Oh, yeah.
And just knowing how much life sucked. But, you know, that's just the way it was. Anyway. So I found myself in Mount Lawley on Saturday walking past the Astor Cinema,
mm-hmm.
and there they were, a lineup of young emos.
Oh, what's the collective noun for a group of emos?
A crying of emos, a eyeliner of emos. I don't know, but I love them.
I feel so at home with the emos.
And they were really clearly there, and I had to go and research who they were there to see.
Oh, because of course, yeah, because you know there'd be a gig on and there's plenty of signs up at the Astor, so you don't really know who's on at what time.
No, and I must have been there around midday or something, so there was hours to go and they were there all huddled around the corner on Beaufort down Walcott
a matinee.
Street. Yeah, yeah, no, but they were waiting there for the evening, right? And they were there to see a performer called Youngblood.
Yeah, from the UK, yeah.
Right. Apparently he's huge.
Yeah.
I never heard of him.
So that's one of his more kind of, you know, punky kind of songs.
Arctic Monkeys kind of
sound.
Yeah,
a lot of people would know this one. Because this was like a huge hit with Halsey and Travis Barker from Blink.
Okay. He's huge. He's got like 3.7 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, he's a pretty big deal there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was just, you know, I kind of had a wash of nostalgia,
mm-hmm.
And also a sense of pride. You know what? As someone who sort of came through the live entertainment scene, it warmed my heart to see that people were still prepared to do that day and age.
Oh, there's plenty of gigs, and I feel too. It's hard to like come up with band names and stuff too. Now there's that many names going around. Every time you see a lineup for a gig, you're like, I'm probably not going to know 30% of who's on there.
No.
Minimum.
But like, not only was he doing that gig there, like Kid Laroi, and I guess back in the day, bands used to go to record stores, right? Mm-hmm. But these days they go to like shoe shops.
Yeah, right. A meet and greet
for
or a signing.
For a meet and greet.
Or, yeah, well, it's where they've got their merch deal. So yes. It's the best way to sell a bunch of sneakers and get your autograph done.
Yeah, but there they were. God bless them, the emos. Aww. I'm on board.
Yeah, good on them. And Youngblood and Kid Laroi are going to be doing a superannuation tour themselves.
At
and
some
they're going to sound ridiculous because you're no longer young and you're no longer a kid.
That's true.
Receive the free bowel screening test kit. It's the free test that could save your life.